With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And we send our 10-year-olds out on missions to go catch creatures in these infinite storage devices.
Because the entire Pokemon universe is... wait for it.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Pucko Podcast!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Pucko!
Grab your friends, it's that time again.
Yeah.
Listen to the show where the fun never ends. It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh yeah.
Pucko!
It's your host,
Trigger Stash!
And welcome to the 373rd episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with some spectacular co-host, the one, the only, the man, the legend, the myth, the one who hasn't been on in forever, Bosifus.
Thank you for having me back, Thatch.
I would always have you back, buddy.
Oh.
I would always have you back. And then, of course, we've got the one that comes and leaves cotton all over my house once a year, the fluffiest Whimsicott.
I am currently using the cotton to mop up the tears from that beautiful moment you guys just had.
It doesn't help that, like, Bo and I were the ones that really brought the podcast back. And so we share a deep connection. But welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League. I keep saying, of course. It's not like somebody new is going to be like, yeah, that's obviously what it stands for, not the People's Union of Civil Liberties. But we are the Pokemon Podcast that talks about everything from the video game to the trading card game to even sometimes, I guess, we talk about Pokemon Treta. The only reason I talk about Pokemon Treta is probably because every week when I try to come up with trivia, when we need to fill in trivia from the trivia channel, I do have some announcements to make regarding that, because I appreciate everybody's efforts, but I need to tweak that so that everybody understands and we get on the same page. But when I'm looking for trivia on Bulbapedia, and I just kind of do random page, and then I find something that grasps my interest, you know, I'm trying to go down a Wikipedia hole, essentially, on Bulbapedia. Like, that's really my plan, to just find some really interesting things that I don't think typical people would know about. Every time I do that, though, the random pages are either like a TCG card or a Pokemon Treta figure, or Pokemon Treta chip.
Really? That's
yeah.
Hilarious.
It's absolutely awful. And it's just like, because that's not even anything in the US. I can't do anything with Treta chips because that's not anything outside of Japan.
That's I think trivia questions, what you're looking for is something that you would be like exposed to in direct, like,
oh, absolutely,
mainline media. Because that's something I would have to like go up and have specifically researched. Like, that's not even like part of the Pokemon fandom at that point. Like, to me, that's like something else.
I try to look for questions that you guys can at least try to figure out. You know what I mean? At least have some opportunity to try to figure out. There are some questions that do come up in the trivia channel, which are just not those. They're just very obscure. And so I like, it's no offense to you guys, because it is really cool trivia, like, once I read it, but I don't think it's anything that the co-host can figure out or have a chance of figuring out unless they just read something the day before.
Right. Or watch like a specific half hour video on YouTube.
Exactly. And so that's just something that I try to avoid, and I try to make questions that you guys can answer, things that people can also play along in the car with. That's my big thing. I always try to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's no fun to watch like a bunny rabbit try to race Usain Bolt, you know? But if you get two bunny rabbits together and race them, that's fun.
I don't know. I've heard Usain Bolt really likes bunny rabbits. I think that'd be pretty fun to watch.
He might stop and pet it or something.
Aww. I think he'd probably run alongside and like encourage it.
But welcome to the show, guys. We've got some great stuff lined up for you today. Today is going to be a little bit different because our topic today is going to be us discussing our own Pokemon headcanon and things that come up in that. Mostly because we're in the calm before the storm. I really do predict that we're going to hear within probably the next 5 weeks or so the next announcement for the next Pokemon video games.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be in February.
It'll probably be the end of February. I'm guessing February 26th, like always.
Yeah.
I really do expect that to be when we get our announcement, and then we can talk about it further then. But I really don't want to keep speculating about these games because there's no new news, really. And I don't really want to speculate about it. We just got Let's Go, and the Let's Go hype has kind of died off. And so we get to have some fun topics now. And so,
what's the first thing you guys want to see when they do an announcement? What's the first thing you want to see? Do you want to see game titles? Do you want to see starters? Do you want to see like?
So I'm super biased because I've paid attention to a lot of the past generational releases, and I know what to expect to see. And yeah. So I fully expect to see two things at most. I fully expect to see a reveal of the cover art legendaries, and I expect to see the names, and that is it. Because that's the way they've handled both X and Y and Sun and Moon. Even in the Sun and Moon release, they only showed the kids playing the, like, they're just like, oh, here are the titles, and that was it. But on the website, they actually showed Solgaleo and Lunala. Didn't give us their typings, obviously, so that we can all sit around and speculate on what their typings are and get really disappointed that Solgaleo is not a fire type. And people can be like, well, Yveltal made a screeching noise in that trailer, and so obviously sound type's finally going to be a thing.
Oh, gosh.
And we can deal with that nonsense again.
I don't think there are any new types that they could add now.
I think we're super balanced right now, but remember when we got the announcement of Fairy Type, Bo? There's an episode out there of me and you going,
and,
Fairy Type is stupid.
Yeah. There's one that I ranted, and I'm like, oh boy. Like, it came up on my Facebook time hop, and I was like, Bo, you know.
In retrospect, fairy typing was like one of the best things that's happened to the game.
Oh my god, I love fairies so bad.
I do think the meta has become a little unbalanced because of it, but we can look into that a little bit further down the line.
Yeah, I mean, we could argue that it's not so much the type as the Tapus. Like, fairy type in itself in Gen 6 was fine, but whatever.
I would agree with that. I would absolutely 100% agree with that. All right. So, yeah, I mean, I do expect it just to be a title and some legendaries in February. I don't expect it to be much more than that, though. And we'll be able to talk about our hopes and our dreams again, and probably in a little bit more context, because we can start speculating about why it's called Thatch and Scrawn version, and how much Nintendo listens to the podcast, and they take suggestions from me.
I thought it was going to be Let's Go Thatch and Let's Go Scrawn, but now Gen 8 games are Scrawn and Thatch.
Yeah, no, those are always Thatch and Scrawn version. The next Let's Go games are Let's Go Girafarig.
Oh, I was going to say, Whimsicott, do you want to claim that new Let's Go spot? Let's Go Bo and Let's
no,
Go Whimsicott?
No, it's Let's Go Girafarig, just to tick Scrawn off.
Oh, yeah, okay. Just Let's Go Girafarig. No other version.
Let's Go Girafarig. Oh, I want to do like Let's Go Mischievous or something.
Honestly, if we're going to be completely 100% honest, if I'm going to take a stab at what those games are going to be called, it's going to be Let's Go Togepi and Let's Go Meryl. That's the stab I'll take.
I don't think they would necessarily do that. I think they might do Togepi in some fashion, but they'll probably do like almost like a Red and Blue thing, how they switched over to box art legendaries and Silver and Gold.
I don't know if that works as well, personally, in terms of what they want to do.
But I don't think they're going to sell games with characters that aren't like Pikachu and Eevee, because I think those characters were hard sellers for those games. Because everybody knows Pikachu. Didn't Eevee have like something huge now? Didn't it have like a float in like the Macy's Day Parade or something?
Well, so that's why they did it. That's called marketing.
Well, yeah, I know. That's what I mean. But like Eevee is already the super iconic character. It's like in, you know, in the Build-A-Bear, in the, you know.
That, again, marketing.
Right. But that was long before the game came out. I'm just saying Togepi and Meryl have not had the nearly extensive marketing that Pikachu and Eevee have. Like,
I don't think you could say that about any Gen 2 Pokemon, though. I don't think that any of them can say clearly are going to be as memorable as Pikachu and Eevee. And that's what makes this more difficult, I think.
if Pikachu's like the Mickey Mouse of the franchise, I would say Eevee is maybe like the Donald Duck.
Yes, yeah. I would
Charizard
agree with
that. Being like the Goofy. I think Togepi and Meryl would be like Donald Duck's nephews.
Yeah.
Like, they're not as iconic of characters. Like, some people would be really interested in buy those games, but I don't think that they would sell. I think they'd probably have to switch to something else. Be, let's go Donald and let's go Goofy, you know?
Mm-hmm. I would just definitely think that, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. In the perfect world, in my mind, they just sell it as let's go DLC, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah. And you just buy the one game and you just take you and all your new costumes over to mm-hmm. Sinnoh.
Exactly. And let's not even talk about remakes. I have no idea how remakes are going to work after this.
I've been putting off replaying 4th Gen because I'm like, well, a remake's going to come out in, like, you know, 2 years. You know, I might as well just wait and play these other games and tide over my time and then really, really, like, dive back into it. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get a Gen 4 remake or not. Not
a proper one. I don't know if we'll get a proper one. We might get Let's Go. I don't know. I don't even know what Gen 4 which you would say. Let's go. Let's go Buniri and let's go Budu.
And Buniri and Budu. Oh my gosh. Let's go Croagunk and let's go Stunky.
Croagunk, I think you could pull off. Croagunk, yeah, I think can work.
Croagunk's pretty cool. Croagunk and Buniri.
Croagunk. I don't know. I think Buniri is a terrible choice, personally.
Yeah.
I think you have to steer away from the starters, though. That's just me.
Yeah.
That's just a theory, a Thatch theory. So that is a great place for us to stop, and we're going to kick it on over to the news, because there's been plenty of happening in Pokemon as of late. So let's kick it on over to that news segment and cue that epic music.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
And welcome to the news. The news is pretty much the segment where we talk about what's going on in Pokemon. There's been a lot of cool things going on, though, in the Pokemon universe, in the Pokemon community, things like that. So first of all, because this is also just the Pokemon Go segment, in Pokemon Go, there's a Hoenn event going on. It's so surreal that we're so far ahead in Pokemon Go in terms of generations that we're at a Gen 3 event so that you could pick up Pokemon that you might have missed. By the way,
I definitely still need it.
Yeah. So this is going on until January 29th. So go out there and catch those Hoenn Pokemon if you haven't caught them yet. There's also a Feebas event going on today as we're recording this, but it's too late to tell you guys about it.
Ooh, it's not too late to tell Bo about it, though.
It is too late to tell Whimsicott about it, though.
It is.
Although Whimsicott did know, she just elected not to go out and play.
It's a winter storm here, so I'm not going out. There's like blizzard conditions outside, so I'm not going to go play.
Yeah, there's water frozen on the streets.
Yeah, so in commemoration of Gen 3, though, you can go buy Team Aqua and Team Magma costumes for your Pokemon Go avatar, which might be worth it if you're into that.
If Scrawn is not dressed like Archie the next time I see him online, I'm going to be very disappointed.
7K eggs can now include Ma-Isle, Absalon, and Kata. That I like that. I'm gonna go open all these gifts so I can get 7K eggs, because I'm out of eggs. And I need Nincada and Absol, so good for that.
Same.
Done. Okay.
Wait, is it Nincada or...
Nincada.
Ah, I don't need Nincada.
I need Nincada. Wait, do you need Ninjask?
I mean, I kind of hoped it was going to be Shedinja because I was a dummy bear and missed it.
Okay. Well, I think Shedinja's not in the research box right now either.
No.
All right. And so apparently so now that we're done talking about Pokemon events and stuff in Pokemon Go, we could talk about other cool things. So were you ever like, man, they never celebrate Generation 1 enough in Pokemon? Well, lucky for you, it looks like Japan's coming out with a new TCG set featuring Brock and Misty. And it's just got some Gen 1 love in there, so good for you guys.
Oh, gosh, will it ever end? Do you know I haven't finished Let's Go yet?
I believe it.
I just got tired. I saw that Jigglypuff, the shiny Jigglypuff, it ran away, and I was like, no, I'm done with this game.
Mm-hmm. For those of you who are super hyped just like we are for the Pokemon Detective Pikachu trailer/movie that's coming out this May, they are doing a TCG release. I believe this is starting from, oh my gosh, I'm not sure when this drops exactly, but they just released product images for three new cards, one being the Detective Pikachu card, another being for a Charizard GX with the artwork from Detective Pikachu in the trailer that we have seen, and another one with the Greninja GX from the trailer we had seen as well.
It's like end of March, beginning of April.
Yeah, it's like the end of March, beginning of April it comes out. And it comes with some Detective Pikachu booster packs, so it's its own mini set as well on top of that. So get ready for that, guys. We're so excited.
I think that's amazing. I think that's absolutely what they should do with marketing on that. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Pokemon cards are iconic. Like, who doesn't want to play with the Pokemon that they had in the movie? Like, I think it's just... I think it's brilliant.
I'm super appreciative that not only did they give a Pikachu card and a Charizard card, but they also gave a Greninja card. I'm just so appreciative for that.
Oh, that Greninja looks hot. Like, that's a nice looking card.
I'm just happy that they were just like, you know what we can do? We can make every Pokemon fan happy instead of being like, let's pander to the ones that everybody knows.
I was afraid of that with Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, until I saw the trailer.
When the first scene opened and there was like three or four Pokemon that were like not Gen 1 right away, I like immediately was like, like, okay.
Yep, that's yeah. The moment that I saw like Gen 7 Pokemon in there, that was the moment I'm like, everything's going to be okay. This is going to be a solid movie. At least as a Pokemon fan, I think it's going to be an okay movie. Further on, we talked about the Simple Symphony last week. That's the next battle competition. The registration has opened for that, so I suggest you go register for it. I'm going to, and I'm going to try to stream some of it because it looks like a super fun meta. It's literally, you're only allowed to use monotype Pokemon, and it's single battles, no Mega Stones. It's going to be so much fun.
That sounds
like
fun. It
does look like fun. Yeah.
It's fun. Too bad the reward's like 50 battle points, so it doesn't really matter because 50 battle points literally equates to like... 25 minutes of your time nowadays because of Mantine Surf, but it can still be fun.
Yeah, I just had to do that today because I needed PP ops.
Yeah, I wish they would give out more exclusive Pokemon for these types of things, but oh well. Beggars can't be choosers, right?
Yeah.
So I guess that is pretty much all the news, except that the Pokken Tournament champions have been announced. Championships, not
Whoa!
Champions. I know. This game that everybody forgets exists this is the regional for Pokken Tournament, and let's go through it. So it is. There's going to be an Oceanic International Championship in Melbourne, Australia. There's going to be. They're also taking place at the European International Championships in Berlin in April. And at some point, they're going to be... So the North American International Championships isn't going to actually have one, as far as I can tell. It's just a last-chance qualifier at Worlds, which is upsetting because I'm trying to find out when that North American International Championship date is, and because
yeah,
we haven't gotten it yet.
We need to know that.
Yep. All right. So then the Pokemon World Championships, of course, are taking place in Washington, D.C. later this year as well. So that's where the World Championships are going to take place. And if you're in the International Championships, first place, you win $1,200 and a World's Invitation. Second place, $1,000 and a World's Invitation. Third place, $750. Fourth place, $600. And that's when you hit the World's Invitation. Fifth place tie gets $450 each. Seventh place tie gets $250 each. And then the 5th through 7th do not get World's Invitations. And if you're at the Pokemon World Championships and you make it into that, first place gets 6,000, second place 4, third place 3, fourth place 2, fifth place tie, $1,500 each, and seventh place tie, $1,000 each. I mean, that's a good chunk of money for playing a game that nobody plays.
Yeah.
So go out there and play some Pokken if you're just like, man, I don't know what else to do on that weekend. I'm not good at TCG, and I'm not good at VGC. I'm going to go play Pokken.
You said that's a last chance qualifier on the North American International.
So the North American Internationals aren't going to actually have a Pokken tournament, it seems like. And to qualify on the North American side for the Pokken Tournament World Championships, it's a last chance qualifier, probably on the Friday of Worlds, where you just go do that. And they call that the North American International for Pokken.
I thought you meant like it was a last chance qualifier at the Internationals to go to Worlds.
No,
isn't that just being like the best at Pokken Tournament at your like brother's basement? Like everybody just showed up and you're like, yeah, I'll play. Like, oh crud, it looks like I'm the North American champion.
It kind of is, honestly, right?
Like that's what it sounded like when you said that to me. I was like, what?
Remember when we all went to I guess it was the last what do they call it?
2016.
The Nationals. It wasn't an international, mm-hmm. It was the last Nationals.
The last Nationals.
And we went there and we walked into the Pokken room and it was just dead. Like, they had this really nice room set up, and it's just dead.
Three TVs going. I was like, man, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
12 people in here. Yikes.
But that is what's going on there. So I guess that's everything in the news. In Puckle News, first of all, I do want to announce that there is a new battle clinic happening on... I need to double check the date real quick because Sigma sent me the date and I did not pay attention enough to write it down. But the next battle clinic is going to be taking place on Friday, January 25th. You need to arrive between 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern time in the battle clinic chat on our Discord, and then at 8 p.m. battles will start. It's probably gonna be about 3 to 4 rounds. These are super casual. Make sure that you let Sigma know, since he's running it, that you are signing up. You can't just kind of show up and expect a battle. You need to let people know that you are signing up. So the tier this time is going to be NU, just for funsies, just to kind of play around with some NU teams and have some fun with it. So I look forward to seeing you guys there. I'll be there. I'm gonna battle some NU. Just have a good time. Other than that, the UUTC is rolling, so keep a lookout on our YouTube. Probably not this week, but probably the week after that, we'll start pumping out some UUTC videos.
Warms my heart.
I know. It's going to be great. Hopefully, we can cover all of them, because there's going to be 15 battles a week for like 5 weeks. It's going to be a real push. So if you want to work for Puckle, Puckle needs you.
We so need you, please.
To help us edit these videos. So I guess that's it for the news. We will kick it on over from here, though, guys, to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge, because they're that smart. That means no internet, no anything. Just use yourselves. You guys are competing together today as a team to earn possibly 7 points with out of 5 questions. There are 5 questions to answer here. One of them has a bonus question. You do have a lifeline and a hint that you guys can use, but if you get all of the questions correct without using the hint, you can cash it in for a 7th point. You guys are in a race to 30 points to beat your other fellow co-host, and the first of 30 points gets a $20 credit to TeePublic to get some of that Puckle swag. This segment is brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, where you can pick up a bunch of cool anime-related art, as well as some cool Pokemon art, including a green Tauros poster. So check out AnimeGravy.com. Thanks to them for sponsoring this segment. So if you guys are ready, though, we will jump into this first question.
I'm ready.
I was born ready.
You were, with the innate Pokemon knowledge. And so we're going to jump right into it. This first question is about the ice type. So it turns out there is a generation that has only introduced one single ice-type Pokemon, and obviously that's the generation that's introduced the fewest ice-type Pokemon. What generation is it? And I'll give you kudos if you can tell me what the Pokemon is.
Okay, so...
it's a single Pokemon, not a Pokemon family, right?
One
that's
Pokemon.
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
One Pokemon.
Okay.
So I think it is Gen 4, and I think that it's Weavile? No, because Froslass.
I think it might be... Gen 2, actually. What ice-type Pokemon were introduced in
Gen
2?
But there's Sneasel and Delibird.
Okay, so it's not Gen 2?
It's not Gen 1, because there's plenty. It's not Gen 3, because there. I can think of the Celio line. Is that ice-type? Well, there's also Glalie and Snorunt.
Yeah.
There's Abomasnow in Gen 4.
Yeah, and then there's the Vanillite line in Gen 5.
And Beartick.
In Gen 6, you have Bergmite and Davalug. Is
so
it Gen 7?
Gen 7.
No, because
okay,
Gen 7 introduced...
But the Alolan,
Alolan forms don't
count.
Count Alolan forms
that's
don't
new
count.
Pokemon.
They're
still
count.
That's still Vulpix. That's still Ninetales. It's Crabominable.
Yeah. Yep.
It has to be. I can't think of anything else that came out in Gen 7.
No, if Alolan forms don't count, like, we have ruled out all the other gens, so it has to be Gen 7, and
right,
it has to be Crabominable.
Right, okay. Final answer.
Crabominable and Gen 7 is correct. That is the only Ice-type Pokemon they actually truly introduced.
All right, one real point and one kudo point.
Yeah, one kudos point, yeah. You can cash that in for a Thatch Might Care point. And so, of course, we'll go ahead and we'll keep going. Question number two. This one's a bit of a history question in terms of Pokemon. So since Generation 5 was the last generation of Pokemon to not be simultaneously released around the world, we got the starters revealed to us without their English names, and this was the last time that's happened. Snivy, in particular, was actually given a name by the community before the English name was released as Snivy, and this name was actually published in several outlets, including something like Kotaku. What was it called by the community before its English reveal?
Smugleaf.
Yeah, it's Smugleaf.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is correct. It is Smugleaf. That's what they used to call Snivy. They call him Smugleaf because he looks smug and he has leaves.
Yep, I think my Snivy is still named Smugleaf.
Wow, cool, Bo.
Yeah.
All right, so that's 2 points for you guys and a kudos point.
That's two kudos points. Those are worth 4 regular points.
No, only one kudos point. There's no kudos point in that question.
Okay.
So in Pokemon Stadium 1, you can obtain gift Pokemon to transfer your game to help you complete the Pokedex. Like, you could get the starters, the fossils, another one of Hitmonchan or Hitmonlee, and I believe Eevee as well. So it helps you complete your Pokedex when you get these Pokemon by defeating the gym leader castle. However, in Pokemon Stadium 2, they don't do this as nicely. They actually only allow you to catch 2 Pokemon that can be transferred over, and they're not really exclusive gift Pokemon. Instead, these Pokemon are given special moves. One of these is Farfetch with Baton Pass. Another of them was given the special move of Earthquake when it was given to you. What Pokemon was it?
I've never played Stadium.
Are you kidding me right now?
I'm digging deep for the trivia, man.
Okay, so you said the first one was Farfetch'd
with Baton Pass. So I will tell you, this is a Generation 2 Pokemon that they are giving you with the move Earthquake.
With the move Earthquake. I think Onix can already learn Earthquake, so I don't think it would be Steelix. Was there anything... What about, like, Shuckle? No, Shuckle's given to you... What are some of the trade Pokemon in Gold and Silver? Because Farfetch'd was a trade Pokemon in Gen 1, but then you could catch it in the wild in Gold and Silver, so it's not really anything fancy. It's a Gen 2 Pokemon?
This is a Gen 2 Pokemon, so I've lived in your number to, like, 100.
Whimsicott, do you want to use our hint?
I mean, I'm fine with it, yes.
I mean, unless you want to just, like, take a shot in the dark, and then if we randomly get used to hint later or something, but...
Honestly, I haven't the faintest idea, because we could sit here and try to think about all of the Pokemon in Gen 2 that already got Earthquake, but it would take us forever, and we have a minute, so...
Yeah, and with the hint, I mean, I don't have a clue as to what it is. Like, I'm usually pretty hip on these, types
yeah,
of things,
then if we don't cash it in later, and this is the hardest question apparently, let's use the hint.
All right, okay. So this Pokemon actually gets stabbed from Earthquake. It is also a dual type Pokemon, and it is not it didn't have an evolution in Gen 2.
Okay, so it's probably Gligar.
It sounds like it could be Gligar, yes.
I don't think anything, because it's kind of similar to Farfetch'd. I don't think of any other ground dual types that were on the, it didn't evolve, so it wouldn't be like Quagsire.
Yeah. I'm fine with answering Gligar.
Okay, I think Gligar.
Gligar is correct. That is 3 points for you guys today. You're doing pretty well. Getting that Gligar.
Thank you.
All right, so this next question comes from, and... this is your dual point question, though. You guys are 3 for 3. Maybe we can make you 5 for 4. We'll see. So there are 2 generations that you'll have to answer here. So you technically like have a chance to hit one if you just like throw a dart at a board. But
I suppose
only 2 generations Elite Four members have made appearances in the anime collectively. Like all of them have appeared in the anime. Maybe probably not all at once, but they've all been all the characters from the Elite Four have been in the anime.
I don't understand the question. Can you repeat?
Okay, so there you have the Elite Four, right?
Yeah.
In every generation.
And Flint.
In every generation, there's an Elite Four. And in the anime, they typically don't show all of the Elite Four members. However, for 2 generations of Elite Four members, they have all made anime appearances. Like, all 4 of the Elite Four members have made anime appearances. Which 2 generations have had complete appearances from their Elite Four in the anime?
Never mind. I thought you meant... Okay, so I don't think it is Gen 4 or Gen 1. or Gen 2.
I am completely in the dark here as well.
So Gen 7, well, I don't know. I'm not caught up on Gen 7, but it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, because I don't suppose Kahili has showed up yet, right?
Who?
Kahili.
Yeah, the flying type. The golf girl. Yeah.
That's how memorable she is.
Yeah.
Has she appeared in the anime? I don't watch the anime.
Not in English yet, or at least not what's on Pokemon, the TV app. Plug.
Okay, so we can exclude Gen 7.
I didn't watch Gen 5, but I know it was long.
And I know Gen 6 went in pretty deep as well.
Yeah, and I know that it went super anime. But, like, Wilkstrom, was he in the anime? I don't think so.
Like, Gen 6 Elite Four is not that memorable except for Malva, so...
It could be Gen 4, because I remember they did a whole Flint backstory with Volkner. There was... I think Bertha was there, but I could just be mixing her up with Agatha. But I think she was in the anime for, like, a second. I know Cynthia was all over in the anime.
Yeah, and Caitlyn, like, super famous in
Caitlyn's
Gen 5.
From Gen 5,
so,
though, yeah.
I'm fine with answering Gen 4. And
okay.
Are you sure it's not Gen 1, one of them?
Well, I don't think... Did Lorelei show up? I think Lorelei did show up. But I don't think she had the name Lorelei. I think there was a girl with Lapras that went, maybe it might have been Lorelei. And then Bruno? Oh, Bruno was totally in the anime.
Yeah,
and
I would
Lance
answer,
is too.
Like...
Yeah, okay, no, I think you're right. I think you're right now that... Now
Gen
that
1 and Gen 4,
it.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good... I think that's good.
Okay, let's go with that.
Lock it in.
Gen 1 and Gen 4 are correct, both of them.
Oh, nice.
That is 5-4, you guys. You guys are doing solid here. Yeah, that is... They were... Both Gen 4. I don't actually know when Bertha showed up, but she apparently did in the anime. Because nobody watched the Diamond and Pearl anime.
Yeah. I've kind of, like, watched another plug for Pokemon TV app, but, like, if I'm bored or trying to fall asleep or whatever, or just, like, need something to veg out to while I'm doing something else, I'll, like, put that on and, like, put on Gen 4 just to see, like, what's going on. And, like, oh my gosh. It is.
It's because it's Gen 4 and I have no idea what's going on in the Gen 4 anime. Because there was that 50 episode of filler segment that happened and nobody cared.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
But it was good. Apparently Bertha was in the anime. Fun fact. So yeah, it was both Gen 4 and Gen 1. So we can go ahead and give you guys 5 points. The last question, as always, is a base stat question. And I would like to know from you guys, what dragon type has the highest base defense of all dragon type Pokemon?
Tartanator.
Cool. Yeah, I would agree.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
That is correct. It is Turtonator. Turtonator has a base 135 defense, which is the highest of all Dragon-type Pokemon. I went down the list. I was going as far down as I could to try to find, like, the type with the lowest, highest defense. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that was, like, third from the bottom. I still hadn't hit, like, normal type or something like that.
Next week.
Ultra-Necrozma has, like, crazy high stats, but yeah. Defense is not one of them.
Defense is not one of them. That is absolutely true. So that gives you guys a lot of points this week. That gives you six points. Six is a rarity nowadays. You should take that as a moment of
six
pride.
Six plus a kudos.
Plus a kudos point.
And kudos points are worth 4 regular points, so we got 10 points today.
They're not worth anything points, but that's fine.
They're worth something in our heart.
So let me go ahead and sort this. There is a 4-way tie for second place right now because we've just started the ladder over again. But currently, Scrawn is in first place with 10 points. Tied for second place, we have a 4-way tie between Sublime, Jashiro, Whimsicott, and Bosefus. And tied for third place, we have Basket and Seth Vilo. And everybody else has yet to get on the board. So that is it for Puckle's Poke Quiz. Tune in next week for when I believe it's Sublime and Linian try to take on the Trivia Challenge. We'll see how it goes. All right, guys, we are going to kick it on over to the topic after this short break.
Hey there, Puckleonians. It's Professor Snag. Thanks for listening to the Puckle Podcast. If you want more Puckley goodness, there are several ways you can do that. If you want to chat with hosts and other community members, join our Discord server. There's always someone there to talk about anything Pokemon. Make sure you follow and like us on all of our social media outlets like Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit. Come watch us on Twitch at the Puckle Podcast and get in on the action where Jushiro plays the TCG online and Thatch does viewer battles. If you are able, please consider supporting us on Patreon, where you get exclusive gifts such as Puckle TCG cards and access to bonus content. Or just go to our Tee Public store and buy a t-shirt. All funds go right into the podcast and make the community better for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to our new channel, Puckle Plus, where you can find me hosting Game Corner each month, Jushiro hosts the TCG cast, and lots of extra content including Movie Club, Battlecast, and the Puckle live shows. Thanks for listening, and as always, help control the Breeject population. Get your dittos spayed and neutered.
And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is just going to be our personal headcanon. We just thought this would be a fun way to talk about things that we believe to be true in the Pokemon world that aren't necessarily confirmed by the Pokemon company. Because, I mean, that's what Pokemon is, right? You have to have some kind of headcanon to really go along with a lot of these stories.
Yeah. Or things that are like half-truths, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, things that they haven't confirmed, but there's definitely pieces there to confirm that they happened. I mean, if we really want to dig into this, I mean, there's the mythology that you can read in the Canalave library. I mean, this gets really dark, and we'll just kick it off really dark, and we can get better from here.
Heck yeah. They
were talking about how, like, Pokemon and humans used to live together, and you used to not really be able to tell the difference between Pokemon and humans.
Yeah.
And I think there was even a line where they said they got married.
In Japanese, it said they got married. In English, it says they eat at the same table.
That's true.
But, yeah, we co-evolved alongside them, more or less.
Yeah. Which is really interesting to me, and I don't know. I think one of the biggest headcanon things that I think a lot of people have to get over if they actually start thinking about Pokemon too much is the Pokemon-human relationship, right? What does it mean to be a Pokemon trainer? I mean, are you a master of them? Like, kind of like, are they slaves? Or are... In the anime, they obviously try to push that they're friends, and I think that's a really, really big thing to really grab onto is probably that anime mentality. That's what I really subscribe to. Is the anime mentality of, hey, you're friends and you're going around and you're beating things up. And I think they did a really good job of pushing that in Sun and Moon and Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. And I really do expect in Gen 8 for them to actually really like let the Pokemon come out in the overworld a little bit more and you can have a little bit more interactions with your partner Pokemon.
Yeah, which Let's Go is paving the road for.
That's true. Let's Go did a really good job for that. And I think we're going to see that just kind of enhanced in Gen 8. Because we had little scenes like when you're about to enter the League in Sun and Moon. Your starter Pokemon actually comes out of its ball and it like talks to you and you're just like, aww. We're going to do this together, guy. And it's really cute.
Awesome.
So I'm really hoping we get more of those moments.
To be honest, like I think my personal basis for canon in Pokemon are the games. And it's kind of hard to reconcile this, oh yeah, these are my friends thing with, yeah, I just randomly met you, bonked you on the head with a tiny sphere and now you work for me.
Yes.
Well, it is in Pokemon canon that wild Pokemon are jealous of human trained Pokemon because like they get stronger and like that's why you don't find evolved wild Pokemon is because like they need a trainer to get stronger. So like that's also part of the relationship there.
Is that canon in the games?
Dude, I'm pretty sure it's canon in the games. Like I don't know what the jealousy part is, but like that Pokemon attack you because they want to test you, and you know the reason that they only listen certain ones only listen to strong trainers is because there was like some establishment of badges are the hierarchy or whatever.
It is weird that the Pokemon understand the badges as well as like, oh, you're good enough to train me, right? They've all come to this societal understanding of what badges mean.
Yeah, there's like two ways you can see this, and one is a debate about, yeah, how come beings that are supposedly intelligent enough to understand the badge system, also simple enough that the only thing they value is getting stronger.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, you can kind of imagine that the two Pokemon and human societies evolved in a parallel way, and it's kind of, okay, the human society makes it all about Pokemon, and there's a Pokemon society that makes it all about humans, and they kind of use their strengths and weaknesses and the way they act to get to hang out with humans the way that humans use their technology and smarts to get to hang out with Pokemon. And it's like when people say, you don't own your cat owns you, you know?
It's a really weird thing to think about. I don't know. I was just one of those thoughts, and I'm like, man, that's a really headcanon-y thing. You have to be like, yeah, these are my friends. At least they're pushing it more in the games lately, I think. They're pushing more of the friendship aspect.
If you want to be very optimistic, you can say, yeah, Pokemon enjoy battling, usually, but in the wild, battling is too dangerous, and instead getting to battle in a controlled environment alongside humans is something that they really enjoy. It's like sports that evolved from hunting and battles and such, mm-hmm. and now they're just for fun. But at the same time, you get in the games such a push towards the true horrors of wild Pokemon, like Bounsweep's Pokedex entry. Anyone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Pokedex entries really are the things that start to scare me, especially as of late.
That's another headcanon that I have, though, is Pokedex entries, because, like, in my mind, like, some of them are so ridiculous only because they're being recorded by a 10, 11, 12-year-old. Like,
that is one of my favorite ones as well.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that entirely, because there's no way that you could get some of those things. You just go, oh, man, that Macargo is really hot. Must be hotter than the surface of the sun.
Yeah, it's like that comic that someone drew and it keeps going around and I adore it.
Yeah, it's adorable. I think that's just the way to... I think that is my favorite headcanon and one that I fully believe. Though, the one in Sun and Moon and Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon gets really dark. I mean, there are just definitely things where it's just like, ah, well, that Drifloon's trying to take you to the underworld, but it can't because you're too fat.
What if it's because the Sun and Moon player is like that twisted kid that draws like those demented doodles in comics that you see? It's just like,
oh my gosh.
He's just a Pokemon trainer, so he's like...
They have that creepy smile the entire time, no matter what's happening.
In every cutscene, you're a sociopath.
Oh my gosh.
You need to see a therapist. Okay.
That's fantastic.
Headcanon.
Headcanon. Hashtag headcanon. We're doing real well. Yeah.
Speaking of terrible Pokedex entries, what about Mega Evolution?
Yeah, especially in Gen 7, because Gen 7 actually has Mega Evolution Pokedex entries. I don't think we had that in Gen 6. And
no.
Every single one of them talks about Mega Evolution hurting the Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, every single one of them.
I'm recently playing Omega Ruby because I have no idea where my Ultra Moon version is. It's missing in action. My 3DS. No idea where.
Then how
it
are you
is.
Playing Omega Ruby?
On my 3DS XL.
Ah.
Yeah, I have two. But I was like, oh, I want to play with Mega Maw Isle. I never really did that before. And I was just like looking at stuff about it. And I like read Pokedex entries. I'm like, oh my God. And then I went through all the Mega Pokedex entries. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Like, I knew that they were bad, but I never knew, I guess, how bad. But they're like totally awful. And that's why, so I decided I'm not going to use Mega Maw Isle anymore, and I'm not going to use Mega Pokemon at all, ever again. Not in the games, not in the trading card games, or in Pokemon Shuffle, or whatever. I'm not going to use this Mega Evolution, because as a Pokemon trainer, I think it's immoral. And I think if you use Mega Evolution, you are not with that partnership of the Pokemon that goes back to that Pokemon relationship, because we did, you know, we were used to be indistinguishable, and Pokedex doesn't talk about the person, the Pokemon trainer ever suffering. So
it's really weird. It could be like a suffering of love, though, right? If we go back to the Pokemon really are just in this mode of, hey, I want to get stronger. I want to get better, right? And if that's their desire, maybe it's one of those things where they're suffering in order to get stronger for themselves. And it takes that bond between the trainer and the Pokemon to help them elevate to that. And granted, it's only temporary.
But that's where, as a coach, though, like, because that's what you are as a Pokemon trainer. You're a coach. Like, if one of your athletes is like, oh, man, yeah, I've been juicing up on all this stuff. It's like, yeah, totally, like, it's going to make me die 20 years sooner, but it's worth it now. You got to be like, no, it's not. Like, there's life past the Elite Four. Like, there's life past this fight, man. You can go live in a nice box.
Not just that, but, okay, your muscles are going to burn because we did 27 billion runs and crunches and stuff. No, we're talking about, I'm going to break and dislocate your jaw, Mega Glalie.
Yeah, and Aerodactyl's, like, bones burst from its skin or whatever. It's like, it's awful. Not to mention that because of the cannon that is Pokemon, which also I have another headcanon, the Mega Evolution laser that shot into space is what made Deoxys.
Ooh, I love it.
I don't know how I feel about that one.
It hit a Staryu crystal, and it permanently mega evolved into Deoxys, because I think Staryu and Deoxys have a lot of similarities. Because
really?
Starfish regenerate, Deoxys regenerates. They both have that crystal. They're both from space. Like, it lines up.
I like it.
That's interesting. I don't know if I agree with it.
It says that Deoxys was, like, awakened by a big old laser blast or something like that. I don't remember where exactly I read, but I was like, wait a minute. That laser was this mega evolution thing.
I don't know.
But all the mega evolution rocks are just a bunch of dead Pokemon souls. And you're using them. You're using those blood rocks. That's blood. That's blood power.
I don't know if those are dead Pokemon souls per se.
Okay, but didn't the Pokemon lose all their souls?
They are powered by that Pokemon.
They
soul
are upgraded. They are like upgraded evolution stones in my thought process, because it's more like, oh hey, the power from this laser went and it created it, like morphed a Firestone into, I don't know, Charizard,
yeah.
Right?
But no, the power of the laser came from killing Pokemon.
Yeah, but there's only so stones. Much we could say about that, right? Like,
I think it's pretty straightforward, and Bo might be right.
I think I'm pretty sure Megastone, like, they just also happened. Like, the laser killed all the Pokemon and made Megastones. Like, no, I think they probably became the Megastones.
Maybe, or maybe it's just like, why can only certain Pokemon mega evolve? Because those were the Pokemon that was trapped to those stones and whose energy was channeled into what then became the mega stones.
Or just closest to the closest to the laser, or the ones that were in the battle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
But don't use mega evolution, you cruel cruel people.
I want to go back to this Deoxys one, because I don't know if that's true or not. I can't feel. I gotta find a reason why you're wrong.
You think it's another?
Oh god!
Pokemon?
Oh god! You're right. Emerald's Pokedex entry for Deoxys, a Pokemon that mutated from an extraterrestrial virus exposed to a laser beam.
Boom.
Its body is configured for superior agility and speed.
Canon.
I will say though.
God, that's
why.
How?
Then is Deoxys also in the universe without Mega Evolution?
That's a good one.
No.
So maybe the laser still went off, but it didn't create Mega Evolution.
It could be.
Maybe the laser didn't go off, but this Deoxys came from yet another universe in which the laser went off, and then either the strength of the laser or its crazy psychic powers went into overload, and they created a hole through space-time in which Deoxys came to our universe.
Well, they talked about that in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, right? In the Delta episode.
Yes!
Kind of, yes.
Boom.
I love that.
The Deoxys from the Mega Universe, from the original Ruby Sapphire universe, is from the Mega Universe.
Hashtag fix that for
you.
There
we go.
Oh.
Here we go.
Oh, man.
We need to make a Tumblr post ASAP.
Such
okay.
Oh, gosh. No, don't go on Tumblr. I love you too much to let you do that.
We just need that ASAP.
I have to be honest, though. Like, one of my favorite Pokemon headcanons has been officially just/debunked by Word of God in an interview, and I still love it. It's the super classic Ditto is a failed Mew clone one.
Oh, yeah. How is that?
It makes so much sense.
When do they kill that one?
I don't know. It just makes so much sense, and it does absolutely no harm. And they were like, no, it's just coincidences. And we're like, why can't you let us have nice things?
How do they confirm that? But they haven't confirmed, like, Cubone's, like, a baby Kangaskhan or something like that.
Yeah, right.
I actually really hate that one.
No, I was going to bring that one up next.
Why do you hate it? I'm curious now.
Because it just doesn't make sense, because you breed the Kangaskhan, you don't get a Cubone.
That's true.
And you breed the Marowak, you get a Cubone. And the baby Kangaskhan in the pouch just looks like a tiny Kangaskhan, not like a Cubone without the skull.
Yeah, but you also don't know what breeding entails. Your Pokemon are found with an egg.
That's true.
I mean, the thing is, if you breed 1,000 Kangaskhan and all you get is Kangaskhan.
Female Kangaskhan.
Correlation is not causation, Whimsicott.
But then Marowak and Cubone should be a male-only species, if that's your argument.
Mm.
Perhaps Kangaskhan bred in captivity only produce Kangaskhan eggs because their mother survives.
Or maybe Cuban is one of those species that can change sex when there's a biological need for it, like those frogs.
Oh, I feel like we're getting too deep into that. It. But yeah.
Now that it makes sense, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but yeah.
If it makes you feel better, Whimsicott.
I think we should have this topic more often. We went from like crazy extreme biology to philosophical questions about the morality of everything, alternate universe. I love
it. I think personally it's probably to do with the fact that they're bred in captivity. I think a lot of breeding, like weird breeding anomalies that you come across, like the fact that like Nidoqueen can't breed, but like, you know,
that's
Nido
a good
King
one.
Can. Yeah. It's probably because it's being bred in captivity. Like there are lots of things that we can't breed in captivity in real life because it's just like impossible to meet their natural requirements and like their cycles.
And pandas are dumb.
And they're just dumb.
I agree with you. Like, you fixed that for me. Thank you.
Pangoro can breed in captivity, by the way. That's what makes it worse.
It's because it's a dark type.
They should make it not be able to breed in captivity. That would have been so... Like, if you couldn't breed Pancham, I would laugh so hard.
But he's so cute.
Yeah, he is cute. He is adorable. It is Pancham.
Yeah.
I don't know what other headcanon I have, to be fair. Let me see what else we have. Can you cook Pokemon eggs?
Can you cook Pokemon eggs? No.
No. Let's say no.
No, they're not eggs. We said they contain, like, life energy.
Oh,
pure life energy.
I like that. I like that answer.
One video game headcanon that I have for sure that fixes the infinite bag thing is that you hold all of your items in Pokeballs.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Or item balls, because you find all the items on the ground
in Pokeballs.
They're in Pokeballs.
Yeah.
So you put everything in a Pokeball or like an item ball, and you just don't talk about it because it's just like part of your bag.
Yeah.
No, you don't talk about it because you were initially inspired to make capsules, like monster capsules from the capsules in Dragon Ball, and you can't say it because otherwise you're going to get sued.
This is headcanon, not...
I like the Pokeball thing. You just keep it in Pokeballs. And
yeah,
it's
you
much
just keep everything in your Pokeballs.
Exactly. That's why you can just be like, go, bike.
Right.
Yeah, I've always agreed with that.
And if you think about it, like the item ones were probably developed long before things that could conceal living creatures, you know? Like, so, like the technology for those has to be great. Well, it wasn't great until Ruby Sapphire.
We go to the anime. I'm a big fan of that. Just because they probably started using it for items, and then I think the living creatures thing probably happened accidentally.
Oh.
Yeah, like maybe they caught like something like a Voltorb or another object Pokemon, and they realized it's not that different. That was like the missing link in the chain.
I could totally see it just being like thrown, and like they accidentally like throw it at a Pokemon, like... completely on accident, like, and then it fit. The Pokemon just stays in the ball, and they're like, "This isn't too bad."
Or like they threw, like they were scared. They were being chased by ghosts, and they threw it out of desperation, and that's how Voltorb.
Yeah, too. I mean, I look at something like the episode in the anime, the Pokemonopolis episode from the first season of the anime,
the one where they're the ancient Pokemon.
Yeah, where you had the giant Alakazam and the giant Gengar, and then the giant Jigglypuff saves them. If you look at that, they have very old types of Pokeballs that they used in that. Pokeballs, I'm going to put that in quotes because they're different capture mechanisms, and they're just using it, and the Gengar's just using it to collect, like, everything.
They were like Ultraman things.
Yes.
The whole, yeah. But yeah, Gengar's was just absorbing everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was even ancient technology that they had unlimited storage.
Yeah.
So how come in Red and Blue... Never mind.
It's fine. I don't know if that fits super well into the canon, but I think if we could imagine some kind of object like that one, that's probably what's going on.
And one of the recurring themes in Pokemon is just like technology, like technology advances. Like Red and Blue, like the theme was technology.
Absolutely. I think if you just look at the Pokemon world, it's definitely a Pokemon world that's slightly more advanced than ours. Slightly. I say slightly.
Right.
They've got the quote-unquote magic of like almost instantaneous medicine. and they've got a few things here and there. I mean, their society obviously operates differently, and I don't want to get into that discussion because that's a completely different discussion to be like, well, how's the economy work in Pokemon? And it's like, good question. It probably doesn't. But
it's a post-scarcity economy. We've established that like 200 episodes ago.
Absolutely. It's a post-scarcity economy, and they just kind of give everything away for free. And we send our 10-year-olds out on missions to go catch creatures in these infinite storage devices.
Because the entire Pokemon universe is, wait for it, a game.
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, we're trying to make sense of a game, which is fair. I mean, I think doing stuff like the timeline does the same thing, because it's just a game that they're putting out, and people want to really tie in the timeline. I know that you have some ideas on the timeline, but I don't know if we want to get into those.
No, I just want to specify that what I meant is that it being a post-scarcity economy, you can just do whatever the heck you want, so yes. Life in the Pokemon universe is a game.
It is, absolutely. All right. Well, I guess that's actually a good stopping point. Like, everything's a game.
And the points don't matter.
Yeah, that's where we're going to end it, guys. We're going to cut off your topic here. But we'll be right back at you after this short break from TeePublic about what's going on in the poke of the episode. So we'll catch you on the flip-flop. Hey, guys. Are you looking to pick up some cool new Pokemon swag? Well, you can check out the Puckle TeePublic store to get some cool Pokemon designs on t-shirts, mugs, pillows, posters, and pretty much whatever else. They sell tapestries. There are more cool designs that I put up on the store, and there's some really cool ones. It's particularly these Pokemon gym designs, one for each gym in Kanto that have different Pokemon lifting weights. So if you're a big gym goer or you just want something that shows your Pokemon Gen 1 pride, that's something to pick up. I just picked up the Cinnabar Island one myself with this cool Arcanine lifting these weights. There are also cool Puckle-centric ones, such as just the Puckle logo, but also Ozzy, a community member in our Discord, has made a ton of Piddle designs for our Pokemon Draft League, and you can actually check those out, such as the Tottenham Hawlucha, which I think is just fantastic. So if you want to support the show and get some cool Puckle swag at the same time, check out Puckle's TeePublic store today. We appreciate everything that you can get and help us out with.
Episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 640, Virizion, the number one 4G LTE cell phone network in the United States Pokemon.
Oh, wow. It's Pokedex's entry in Pokemon Black states, this Pokemon fought humans in order to protect its friends. Legends about it continue to be passed down.
It is a good Pokemon in the NU tier, and that's why we bring it up, because we have our NU Battle Clinic coming up on Friday, January 25th. Be there or be square. Get some Puckle League points. I think I decided, this isn't official and don't quote me yet, but I think we're thinking about doing a Nintendo Switch as the prize for the Puckle League if you win the whole Puckle League at the end. And so to qualify for that, you need points. And to earn, you can earn up to 10 Puckle points at the battle clinics. And if you sign up for the UUTC, I think you get something like 10 points for every battle you win in the UUTC or something like that, as well as just points for participating. So if you want, if you get into the top 16, you get into the Puckle League from there. And
Thatch.
Yes.
Is Virizion in RU or NU?
I thought it was NU. Am I looking at non-updated tier list?
Yeah.
There's a very real possibility that I am looking at an unupdated tier list from some. Yep, I lied. It's not an NU, I don't think. No, I think it's an NU. Maybe it is. I don't know. I apologize. I am looking at the wrong page. You are correct.
Well, we're gonna do it anyway.
We're gonna do it. We're doing it live anyway. It is. It's not an NU. I was looking at an old, outdated tier list. I apologize, everybody. So Virizion is actually in, let me double check, it is in the RU tier. Still not a bad Pokemon.
I mean, technically, it means it's currently slightly better, possibly.
Yeah, I think Virizion's actually a fun Pokemon. If it ever drops back down to NU, you'll know how to use it. Virizion, I think its claim to fame is, if you look at its base stats, we've got 91 HP, 90 attack, 72 defense, 90 special attack, 129 special defense, which is amazing, and base 108 speed. So it's really fast, especially for the RU tier. And you can run it as a mixed attacker, or you get that fluidity to either do a special attack set or a physical attacking set. Obviously, in my opinion, I think the physical attacking set is going to be better because it does not get nasty plot. It does, in fact, though, get Swords Dance, so you can actually run it as a really good physical sweeper. And so you can run Swords Dance, it gets Leaf Blade, which is a good physical grass-type stab, and then you get Close Combat, which is a really good fighting-type stab. And then, of course, you get Stone Edge, which is a good coverage move on top of that because you're going to be worrying about those flying types coming in and trying to take you out.
Yeah.
Birdies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, you can always run it with any variety of Z-Crystals. The set on Smogon suggests Grassy MZ. I'm more partial to Rocky MZ because I don't know that I need Grassy MZ to take anything out that I'm super scared of, but I hate Stone Edge misses, and that's just me personally.
Also, you're so vulnerable to flying types that you might as well make full use of your speed and just get one big surefire hit to get rid of the one thing that is stopping you.
Exactly. And I'd much rather have that than the Grassy MZ. Grassy MZ is good if you want to make like a really big hit on something, but I would go Rocky MZ personally. Obviously, you have to go Justified. That's the only move you can't, the only ability Virizion has. I would definitely run it Jolly just so you get the most out of that base 108 speed. And you're hitting everything, 252 attack, 4 special defense, just get bulk that up, and 252 speed. So that's kind of the way I would go. He does get some cool tech moves, like Aerial Ace, that would be interesting to run. He does get access to Bounce if you want to run Flying EMZ.
Oh, gosh.
I love Flying EMZ on just the most random stuff. His head is an airplane, this is true. Virizion though is a good mod. I think with those base stats, it's really good. The typing is what kind of drags it down. Grass fighting isn't the best, especially with Flying EMZ being so prominent and a lot of flying type moves just being really prominent in the meta. So that's probably what's holding Virizion back. Same thing that's happening with Terrakion. That's why Terrakion's not as big of a threat anymore.
Yeah. Virizion's design always reminds me of Shaymin Skyform, and I think it's only because of the scarf leaf.
That is probably true.
Yeah.
It is also a member of the Pokemon Adventures
Swords
manga.
Of Justice.
Or not the manga, the Swords of Justice. I'm reading the manga because I was thinking about the Swords of Justice in the Adventures.
And just like all the other Swords of Justice, he has sweet boots.
Yes.
Yep.
he's wearing boots.
Wearing sweet boots.
He's actually my favorite Sword of Justice.
It's a really cool typing. I think Cobalion's really cool, in my opinion. I prefer Cobalion. Just because
Cobalion is also very cool, but Virizion is based on my favorite musketeer, Aramis.
Okay, fair enough. But
Cobalion looks like Thomas the Tank Engine to me for whatever reason. Like, it's just like a box. Every time it's just like, I guess back when it was sprited, but every sprite I was like, it just looked like a Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. And in the TCG, this is actually relevant. Virizion just got a new card in the Lost Thunder set. So this is relevant. And so it's got it for one colorless. You could do double draw, which allows you to draw two cards. This is Virizion GX, 170 HP, grass type. And for two grass energy, you can use Sensitive Blade, which I think is the attack it uses in literally every card that ever was a Virizion. And it's 50 plus. If you played a supporter card from your hand this turn, this attack does 80 more damage, and you're probably playing a supporter card that turn. So for two grass energy, you're doing, 130 damage. Not too bad. And then for one colorless, you're doing Breeze Away GX. Put any number of your Pokemon in play and all cards attached to them into your hand. So that is a really garbage GX attack, unless you're just like, man, I want to do a mass Acerola. So that's it's an all right card. I don't expect it to be good whatsoever. I don't expect that to be a good card. Virizion EX used to be really good though.
Virizion EX and Genesect.
Yeah,
I think
it matched up with a Genesect deck that was like real big and won Worlds like 2 years in a row or something like that.
Yeah, if I remember, I thought like it did a lot.
That's like the only deck that I can recall that's won 2 years in a row, like two consecutive back to back years. So that's just something to keep in mind. Yeah, that Virizion EX, it had an ability Inverted Wind, which allows each of your Pokemon that has any grass energy attached to it cannot have any special conditions, which is probably the bigger reason to run it. And then for a grass and a colorless, you may search your deck for two energy cards and attach them to one of your bench Pokemon, and you do 50 damage. So that's not a bad card either. So looking at you, Virizion, you're doing a good job. I don't know if there's ever been a fighting-type Virizion card. There has not.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really interesting.
Ooh,
I know.
Fun trivia.
That is fun trivia that I will never use, probably.
Other fun trivia is it is not weak to any of the other swords of justice, but it is
super effective.
Strong against all the others. Yeah, super effective against all of them. So technically, it's the strongest.
In a 1v1, yes. I don't know if that makes it true.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, in a 3-against-1, yeah, a lot of people lose that thatch. Sorry that I can't beat everybody up at once.
I'm just letting you know. I'm just letting you know it's got its place, okay?
I mean, unless it's like you and Shamu and Scrawn, then like I could take all three of you guys.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, I've seen every Jackie Chan movie. Like at least twice.
I don't know if this is true, but it's okay.
Are we doing that in that weird slow motion thingy, one move at a time game?
Oh, like the ninja game?
Gun? Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. I will vanquish you.
I will vanquish you in ninja.
I feel like Shamu is so sneaky, he might just get past you.
Yes, that's probably true. It is Shamu.
I'm bringing a sword.
What?
That's against the rules. Calvin Ball?
What? In a 1v3, I think I can have a sword. It's a magic sword. It senses vibrations. So I can detect you.
Oh,
even if you're invisible.
Okay, you're done, Bo. We're done. That is Virizion for you.
It's a good
Pokemon, and you guys should try to use it. So we are going to kick it off there, and we're going to switch gears, and we're going to go read your emails in the mailbag segment.
Time for the mailbag. Send in your emails.
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
And as always, we'll give the Green Tauros badge of 2019 to whoever we think is doing a good email. So let's jump right on into these. All right, last week, we asked you guys what you thought of Pokemon remaking Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back, and I want to hear all of your thoughts on this with the new animation style, with everything that's going on. So let's jump right on in. This first one is from Cowboy. I'll grab this one. Hey, Puckalonians. Cowboy here to shoot off an email again. To answer your mailbag question, I may ask a question. Didn't Pokemon make an evolution series where Red had battled a Mewtwo with his Mega Charizard? Actually, it's called Pokemon Origins, not Pokemon Evolutions. Completely different thing. But yes, we'll keep going. If that's the case, then I'm wondering if Mewtwo will Mega Evolve and if Ash will have a Mega Charizard in the clone battle. I hope so. Please make
that
this movie
cool.
Different.
Oh, yeah, please.
We haven't seen Mega Charizard. Well, no, I guess we have seen Mega Charizard Y in the anime with Trevor. But we haven't seen Mega Mewtwo X in the anime actually yet. As for a mythical Pokemon, they have no one new, so I suppose who's
they have Mew.
They have Mew, that's what he wrote. It says new. So I don't suspect they'll throw in Meltan or Melmetal. You, sir, underestimate the Pokemon company.
and their marketing department.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I love the first Pokemon movie more than any other. I know it's not much for conversation, but I'm going to add an idea. I'm wondering if you can make this work for either Game Corner or Poke Quiz. What if you guys played a game where there are 5 Pokemon cries from the video game and you had to guess which Pokemon it was? No, that does not work, and I will explain why. This is probably because you have not looked into Pokemon cries. But if you do Pokemon cries in an audio format, it turns out that a lot of cries are shared by a lot of Pokemon. We did do something like this, I think, once a really, really long time ago. And it ended up being... I ended up choosing the one cry that was shared by, like, 5 Pokemon. And so there were, like, there were 5 correct answers.
And, like, some of them are, like, the same thing, like, pitched slightly up or down.
Yep.
So if there's any problem in your audio reproducing or whatever it's called,
yes,
you might think you're right and you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. I've played this before with a friend, and it's a lot of fun. Add some rules for games for bonus points. I don't know, just thoughts and thanks. Happy New Year to you all, Cowboy. We appreciate
it
the
works.
Email.
That game works if you, like, are playing one game. Like, if you're playing, like, Black and White with somebody.
Yeah.
and you're playing with the sound on, you're like, hey, you want to play that cry again? Because, like, you're used to the that Pokedex's cries, mm-hmm. or, like, hearing those Pokemon. But, like, if you try to just play with all 800
yep.
whatever Pokemon, it's just not, it's very hard.
Yes. All right, so this next one is from Xavier Gaga. I guess I'll give it to Bo. Bo, take this one.
All right, I'm on it. Happy day, y'all. I hope this email finds you all well. So since about 3 months before Let's Go came out, I was really getting sick of Thatch and his complaining about Gen 1 coming back. When he first started bringing it up, though, I agreed a lot. I started playing in Gen 1, but I've loved what Pokemon has become as the years have gone by, and hated when people would say, yeah, I love Pokemon, but only the original 150. That being said, I've really enjoyed the last year or so when people are talking Pokemon. So this remake of the first movie just adds the meaning, of the people who Thatch has said people go play, what is going on here? Pokemon Go players and people who only like the original 150. Every year I look forward to the Pokemon movie. This always makes me cry and give me good feels, and I'm sad they are just remaking a movie I already saw. So, though, I'd hate to agree with Thatch and too much love for Gen 1, but I wish they'd make movies for fans who have been around for years versus people who have just joined the scene in the last couple of years. Having a lot of fun with this new league and learning and being competitive battling. XOXO, Xavier Gaga.
So, I have a proposal for you. Spoilers for the very end of Infinity War, people. In this version, since it's the current trend, Mewtwo wins in the end.
Oh man, that'd be great. Ooh. I'd be so down. Get Mewtwo Returns. I want a remake of Mewtwo Returns. Like, I don't know that I feel okay with Mewtwo Strikes Back being a movie without so many other things that we've known now. Like, there's a big one in that we get there's that little prelude. We talked about this last week. There's a little mm-hmm. there's a little 15-minute prelude that didn't make the theatrical cut. And I think that's really huge and really good for storytelling. And it kind of fits the tone with what they've done with the past two Pokemon movies. So I'd love to see that added on. The other thing is, Mewtwo Returns is probably my favorite one-off Pokemon special that ever existed.
Oh, really? I thought it wasn't very good.
I thought it was fantastic because it offered something a little bit afterwards. It gave you like a prologue to, not a prologue, it gave you an epilogue to the story with Mewtwo, and I thought that was really good.
Yeah, but the bad guy was really dumb.
All the bad guys in Pokemon are really dumb.
I mean, it was nice to like touch back in with Mewtwo and stuff, but
then you've got the guy who's trying to literally catch them all, and then Ash tries to stop him because he's being makes him a bad person for some reason. Like, come on, let's let's not think too deeply into this. But thank you for that. Our next one is gonna be from, I guess, Pokemon Stud is what he calls himself. This one's for you, Whimsicott.
All right.
Of course you give her Pokemon.
I didn't do that intentionally.
He totally did.
Fine. All right. Hello to the amazing... That's how it's written, I promise.
Yeah.
Thatch and his also amazing co-hosts. It is
The second amazing is like just a regular amazing.
Yeah, so like I've got like amazing times two. And you've just got like a regular old amazing. So I don't know how that makes you feel, but it makes me feel pretty good.
It feels amazing. It feels amazing, though.
Yeah, but just you know, amazing. Anyway, it is I, Pokemon Stud, the Stud Muffin of the Pokemon universe. And just because you said that, I am going to read the entire email like that, Pokemon Stud. I want to say something before I answer the question. I recently visited your store at TeePublic, and I honestly fell in love with the designs. I bought around $100 of merch the other day. Ha ha. Whisper. I am kind of waiting for my other check to come in to buy more merch. My girlfriend is going to kill me, but oh well. I recommend others who listen to the podcast to check it out. There is so much great things at their TeePublic store. Thanks.
I love that was just like a mini commercial in his own email for our TeePublic store. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I think Thatch just sent in an email as Poke Stud, Pokemon Stud.
What else would I call myself, right?
Right.
And just so we can't figure story. Out it's him, he calls Misty his girlfriend instead of his wife.
Oh.
All right.
She would kill me if I tried to buy $100 worth of stuff from TeePublic.
Oh, gosh. I love this dude. But I'm still going to keep up the stud voice because I amuse myself very much. So the question was, what are my thoughts on Mewtwo Strikes Back? I have to say, it has promised to be a great movie, but I have to agree with Thatch last year. The nostalgia hype should be over! Over! It started off with a cute nostalgia trip with Gen 6 and receiving Gen 1 starters and Pokemon Go when it first was released, but this train ride feels like it's going on forever without stops. I just hope that after this movie, we will not see Gen 1 for a while. I do want to make it clear, though, that I am not a Gen 1 hater, but I am kind of getting annoyed at the Gen 1 hype. What are your thoughts with the Gen 1 hype train that never stops? Sorry for keeping the email long. Your friend, Pokemon Stud. P.S. You guys rock. Well, so do you, my friend.
The Gen 1 train that never stops. That's a pretty apt description, because like every game that comes out, I'm like, man, I hope there's not a Gen 1 reference. And then there is.
Just like, chugga.
Yeah.
Chugga. Yeah, I'm just.
I totally agree with him.
It feels like a marathon just never ending more than a train ride that never stops.
Choo-choo.
Yeah, it's like what Bo says. That's how I feel, because I'm like, I know, Bo, you like Gen 1 a lot, and maybe this is an appropriate question for you.
But no, I don't like the Gen 1 love. Like, I'm a fan of like the old media, like the Game Boy games, like the pixel art. Like, I'm really more a fan of that more so than just like Gen 1 Pokemon, I would say.
Yeah, because I've just been, I mean, this has been reiterated on the podcast several times, and this is just my stance, is that I want it to end. We've gotten so much Gen 1 love in the games. Like, we've got Alolan Farms, a lot of the original Megas were just Gen 1 hype, right? We get Pokemon Origins with that. Where, like, the only thing they haven't, like, had a really good callback to Gen 1 in is the manga. And they just, I say this because you guys should all go read the manga, and I'm trying to make the Pokemon Company money. They should sponsor us. And
yeah.
I haven't read Ruby Sapphire yet.
Oh, it's my favorite.
It's pretty good.
Okay. I have the first three. I haven't read them yet.
All right.
By the way, Thatch, you said last week we haven't done Yellow yet. We've done it twice.
Oh, have we? Okay, so we need to jump into Gold and Silver at some point.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's do that.
Yeah, we'll make a plan for that in like February.
Do you want to sign? Yeah, let's. Yeah, let's team up and let's do a this part two, but with.
Ooh, okay, with I would love it.
Yeah, we could talk.
But I want to make sure I'm here for like Ruby and Sapphire, because as I said, it's my favorite.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a big fan of manga. So.
Yeah, anyway. But the Gen 1 just emails. The chugga chugga chugga. I'm okay with it stopping.
let's get off this train and.
All right. I'll grab this next one.
Get on the magnet train.
I guess he calls himself Trainer Wolf. Hello, Trainer and Trainer. Hello, Thatch and whoever he has. Well, I just like insert titles for myself. It's fine. Trainer Wolf here to strike back at this week's mailbag question. Wow, that was an awful joke. That was actually a fantastic joke, sir.
That was a really great intro. Yeah. I was like, wow, this is really clever. And then he ruined it with that. Yeah. Wow, that was an awful joke.
But first, an off-topic aside, on Community Day, I got my first shiny Totodile. I'm excited because Totodile is my favorite Pokemon, but also a little angry considering how many thousands of Totodiles I've bred with for a shiny with good IVs, and I've never gotten a shiny yet. Literally thousands. And of course, I can't even transfer it to Let's Go until they come out with Let's Go Teddy Ursa and Let's Go Fanfi editions.
Actually, those two might
those
work.
Those are good guesses. Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Those are actually great. Yeah.
Now onto the mailbag from several co-host statement on the podcast. I know I'll be in the minority saying it, but here it goes. Pokemon 2000 was terrible. And Pokemon, the first movie, was way better. I wouldn't even say, like, I'm not saying that one's better than the other. I think they're both two different things, and they both evoke different emotions inside of me.
No, I agree. I agree with him. I think the first movie is better.
If you want to talk about me having, like a giant nostalgia trip on how hyped the media was back then, it's Pokemon the movie 2000, because it's like, what's this Lugia thing, right?
Yeah, but it's a good movie to you for different
it's
reasons.
Also it's also just full of hype.
Movie. Yeah.
That movie is all rise, okay? Pokemon the movie 2000 is all rise.
Like, if you put Pokemon Mewtwo Strikes Back on like a TV in a living room for mm-hmm. kids. Like, I bet an adult would sit and get like, that hadn't watched it or hadn't watched it in a while, would sit and watch it and be like, whoa, this is actually like enthralling. And then if you put on, I don't know if Pokemon 2000, but definitely a newer movie, there would be like the first part where you're like, ha ha, cringe. And then people would be like, okay, I'm not invested anymore.
I think Pokemon the movie 2000 is better than recent Pokemon movies. That's absolutely sure.
Oh, absolutely. But I still think the first movie is a lot better. Yeah, I won't say 2000 is terrible, but there are definitely like three or four. Like the last time you, Ethan, and I watched it,
yeah,
the moments that I had, I was like, yikes.
Yeah.
This is not what I remember.
All right, moving on, anyway. Though. Perhaps it's better that I don't have the childhood nostalgia of seeing them as a kid, but to me, Pokemon 2000 was slow. That is untrue, sir. And I honestly found it hard to even pay attention because I just couldn't care. Oh no, the bad guys caught a bird. Now the other bird is rampaging for no reason. It's not for no reason. They're just power-hungry birds. Okay. Oh, we freed the first bird. Now the bad guys caught a different one. Blah, blah. Repetitive plot is repetitive. Only like a little bit, okay?
But do you wish you had pants?
Yeah, duh.
Duh.
On the other hand, the first movie was fantastic. Mewtwo's motivations are understandable, and the plot moved much faster and kept me figuratively on the edge of my seat. So I'm excited for a remake of Mewtwo Strikes Back, since it's one of my favorite Pokemon movies, and I personally enjoy remakes a lot, since it brings some new life to something I love. Now, if they make this movie, this is Thatch talking, and they don't include the Viking joke, I'm going to be a little sad.
I'm going to be very happy. I thought I was super dumb, and you know, it even made it into the Italian release.
Really? That's stupid. That's poor localization.
Because it was just translated from the English one.
Oh, that's so poor. That's poor localization.
Yeah.
All right, moving on, though. I got to find it. I haven't seen the trailer yet, but from the way you guys described it, I'm imagining animation similar to the Magearna movie. No, that's not true at all. Kind of 2D and 3D combined. Regardless, I'm fully expecting to enjoy the remake because it'll be a movie I love presented in a new style. But in the end, only time will tell if the movie remake is good or bad, as the journey continues. P.S. I'm trying to think of a clever way to sign off. How do you like that old school anime reference? Oh, as the journey continues.
I got it now. I think that's really cool. I think your intro and your outro were both really cool. You should just not be self-conscious about it and just have that confidence and rock it. And then I think this email would have been perfect.
Michael Price. All right. So this next email, man, we're like, this is such a long segment. Maybe we just get one more. I would say rock and roll it.
Okay. I can read Rock and Rowlet. Hey, Thatch and gang. Rock and Rowlet has come back after the death of his carnivore to answer this week's mailbag. Okay, that's dark. I think a new movie would be great for new fans, although, like you, Thatch, I'm kind of getting bored of the nostalgia. As you can see, I am a complete lover of Popplio, though the showing of the Detective Pikachu Pokemon cards have surprised me. I really need that Charizard box. Sorry, this is short. Got stuff to do. Farewell. Rock and roll it.
All right. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, thank you for that. I think if we're going to do the mailbag badge today, I think Michael Price wins it. Like, hands down.
I do too.
I mean, he was bold enough to disagree with me, and I will take that in stride.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I like it when people disagree with me, because then we can have a real discussion.
Yeah. Exactly.
You've 360'd because you used to love when people brown nose you. And you're just like, nah, get out of here, brown noses.
I'm becoming wiser, you know, in my old age of 27. And so that is going to be it for it, though. But Michael Price, you get the Green Tauros badge. Just go to the Discord and let somebody know, and we'll get you that role, and your name will turn to a nice green color.
Woo.
You guys can send in emails next week to the Puckle Podcast at pucklepodcast@gmail.com answering our mailbag prompt. What's some headcanon that you have that we didn't mention? I'd love to hear what kind of headcanon you guys have, or if you agree or disagree with some of the headcanon that we had this week. Please send that in to pucklepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to keep up with us during the week, best way to do it is come to our Discord server. The link is in the show notes as always, and is always on our website as well. If you click the chat icon at pucklepodcast.com, you can get headed right over there. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can go over to Twitter @PucklePodcast. Follow us on Facebook @PucklePodcast over there. If you want to see some more content during the week, you can check us out at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. You can check us out over there. If you want to keep up with us on our tournaments, including the UTC, which kicked off this past week, the videos for the commentary are going to be going up starting not this week, but next week. So check that out at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/pucklepodcast. Twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast is a great place to catch me and Jushiro, as well as a great way if you have a Twitch Prime subscription to help out and support the Puckle Podcast. You can, of course, go to our awesome T Public store and find a ton of Pokemon merch over there, where you can get stickers, t-shirts, notebooks, posters, tapestries. They have tapestries, by the way. And
girl, what?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So if you want any of that cool stuff, one of the things that I just recently got from there, outside of my Lavender Town Gengar t-shirt, to follow us at Upple, and also you can check out those videos on our YouTube. You can check us out over there. It's really cool. It's really exciting. It's really fun. And then, of course, you can more directly support the show by being a patron at our patreon.com/pucklepodcast, where we give you a slew of rewards, including early access to the Puckle PTU podcast. You can also get on Puckle Live, which is really exciting. I really like doing Puckle Live with the patrons and getting a couple of them on just to pick their brains and see how they feel about Puckle, how they feel about Pokemon and everything. And we get to usually have a pretty good time for an hour once a week. Or once a month.
Thatch.
Yes.
What did you buy? The people need to know.
What did I buy from what?
From T-Public. Oh. You said you bought something.
Yeah, I just recently bought like this really cool Cinnabar Island t-shirt that has like an Arcanine like pulling up weights and like working out. It's pretty cool. It's
nice.
Pretty cute. So I am looking forward to that. Also, throw pillows. But until next time, guys, I am Trainer Thatch.
I'm Bosevis.
And I am the Fluffy Moon Seeker.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time. Here at Puckle would like to, of course, thank all of our patrons for making everything possible. So I would like to go ahead and thank Viger, Duly Noted, Ten Little Men, Andrea, The Fluffiest Whimsicott, Dr. Shamu, Snag, Dexio, Christian, Jushiro, Rotted Mushroom, Nick, Bosephus, Alvaren, Seth Vilo, Marcus, Claude9, Tank, R Sigma, Doc McStuffles, Nathan, The Golden Klefki, The British Gent, Trevor Booth, TJ, Doc Knox, Echo, Shambles, Birdkeeper Cobra, Louise, Wade, Kevin, Justin, Daniel Travey, Jonathan, Greg, Bodtech, Alec, Mikey, Ozzy, Jedi DJ, Sparky, Nick, Dylan, Shira, Ironcaster, Orange Avenger, Michael, Thomas, Zero, Curtis, Anime Gravy, Hazelnut, Joseph Walther, Alex, and the real EV for supporting the show. We really appreciate it, guys. And I'm thinking, not this weekend, unfortunately, but probably on the 25th, we can do an awesome live show. So I will send that out on Patreon. And if you guys want to jump on that show on the 25th, let's say 7 p.m., I will put it out there. Two patrons can do it. Of course, only the patrons at the $3 tier and above can jump on those slots. So I feel happy, and I look forward to seeing you guys there. So catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.